Because I think what God gave her is the mirrors, the communion table that her and Missy set up, her trash bag, and everything. I think it's important, okay? So if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, so this morning he kept saying to me, "I see you as lovely." And my head was like, "That's nice, that's good. Yeah, I know that's right." But the truth was my heart couldn't fully see that right now. And so I feel like he's saying, like, there's an exchange that he wants to do with us today, no matter what we're holding in our sacks, our stuff. Like, we get to give that to him. So I saw this prophetic picture of us standing before the Lord, and it's like I handed all my stuff to him. And out of that, it's like he hugged me really big, and out of that, there was an exchange. These things just kind of, like, went away. I didn't have to carry that anymore. It wasn't my burden anymore. And so I feel like today he's just saying, "I want to exchange with you. No matter what you're carrying, no matter what you're holding, like, I want that." And so I feel like today is a big day. And so that's why the mirrors are there, is just because he wants us to see ourselves the way he sees us, which is good and free and just love. And so I feel like today is a big deal for the way that we're going to see ourselves. I think we're going to walk out different than what we came in as. So.
Amen. Come on, Dana. And that's not over. So I want you to pay attention. I think it's still not over yet, what she was saying. But I need to make a couple of announcements just to get some things out there. One is Pastor Harvey and Lisa Thorstad and a team of people are down in Guatemala today. They'll be there through the 12th. They'll be back on the 12th. And things are going great. They've had a lot of physical healings, a lot of salvations. They minister to the kids in the towns. And it's really crazy because every kid in town will show up in these villages, and a lot of kids have met the Lord and have been healed, and a lot of things going on. So if you're some of you get Harvey's emails and what's going on. He produced a document saying where he's going, when, what, and all that. So if you want to see this, it'll be up here after the service, and you can get a copy of it too. But that's amazing. Also, tomorrow night, the leadership here at Grace, we have a Thanksgiving meal together, which is really about being together. We believe it's so important for us to be together. And so if you're in leadership at Grace, tomorrow night at 6:30, we're having a meal. Now, another huge announcement, it was very exciting, and so some of you guys are here today, House of Faith for Women. We are doing our November month of giving. We want to invest in the House of Faith for Women. So we've asked them some things, and so what we're going to do, this is a little different than what we usually do. We asked them, one, we'd like a couple of things that they just need practically, that everyone here can participate. And I'd like for you, when you give it nice, you know, I don't know if you're one of those people that can put it in a nice gift bag or a package and something, but these are our gifts for them. And they've asked, so the first 2 weeks of the month, on November the 13th and 20th, next Sunday and the next Sunday we're going to bring underwear, new underwear. Some of you men don't really get that, but yeah, you can buy it new. And we're going to bring that because a lot of the ladies that come sometimes there don't have, for different reasons, don't have what they need. And then the next Sunday, this one's for you crazy, crazy people, bring socks, new socks, you know. They need socks. So you guys, they have the places for 14 women there, and they come, and it's really a big deal. We believe in investing in what they're doing at the House of Faith for Women. And then on the third Sunday, on the 27th, be collecting money, sacrificial giving. We're going to give a cash offering to them at the end of the month. So on the 27th, we're taking up a cash offering. So prepare for that. Sort of like what Paul said in the New Testament. I'm telling you this so you won't be embarrassed, because I've told them how great a givers you are. Paul, wait a second. No, you are. You're great givers. So the third week, so we've got underwear the first next Sunday, socks the next Sunday. On the third Sunday at the end of the month, we're going to do a cash offering. We'll take it to them after the end of the month and present it to them out there at the retreat center. At a, it's not a retreat center, at the house. So they have a house. They have 14, a place for 14 ladies and 8 men. So it's a big, big deal. So you guys, I know y'all like to give. So this is the deal. This morning, we started last week, and I sort of argued with the Lord a little bit about this. I felt like the Lord said, do that same thought, heart check. I'm like, Jesus, we did that last week. We did heart check. And he said, do it again. But he said it in a nice way. I said, yes, sir. And then when Dana came and told me this morning what she was doing here, and it was about hearts, and a lot of us, and what the enemy does to me and you is he'll have us turn our hearts into a trash bag. And it's where we put that bad stuff. It's where we put shame and disappointment and judgment, and we put offenses, and it goes in our heart. You know, it's like that old saying people say, you know, unforgiveness doesn't hurt the other person. It just hurts you. It's like wanting someone to die and you drinking poison. Well, it won't work that way. There's a couple of nurses in here. Y'all can explain the physiology. It just doesn't work. You've got to give it to them. So if you want to kill somebody, give them the poison. That's what you learned at Grace Fellowship this morning. So you need to, but it's not true. If you want to get rid of the trash, if you're here today, you're going to know this. You know this is true. The Lord's pulling you. Some of you already know this morning that God is pulling on you with these things. You got those things that are in your heart. It's trash. And the Lord wants you to unload it. He wants you to unload it. To take it out and get rid of it. So this morning, I think that's going to be something that God wants to do as we're going through this passage. And I just want you to do that. Today's about a heart check. How's your heart? Is it sad? Is it hopeless? Is it in pain? Is it disappointed? Is it hurting? How's your heart? You know, and last week we talked about it. There comes our favorite Ray. So Ray, me and Scott were talking about you this morning. Way better than you deserve. I mean, we were like Jesus. He thinks better of us than we deserve, you know. It's just true. How's your heart? And I'll tell you the truth. We go through these things so fast. It's like, I can't believe Dana dropped this one on me. Like when she was up here, one of them fell off and landed on my foot. It's offenses. I'm like, well, I don't have any. And I don't want to think about it either. And I'm sure not asking him. Ugh. Well, if I stop a moment and look at my heart, I may find that maybe there's some of this in there. It hurts me. Jesus wants you to look at your heart this morning. So, you know, I thought I could do this. I could hold these up. And you know, just to get ready, because we're not doing it yet. But who wants to get rid of this one? You can have it if you want it. I would really like you to take it. So I don't have to deal with mine. My face is turning red. I can feel it. That means I'm getting either, it's the air. Thank you. That's good. I'm glad it's the air conditioner. It's not the air. I know the difference. I know this feeling. It's sort of embarrassment, emotions. I don't know. I know the feeling in me. Check your heart. Do you have some of this in your heart? If you do, it's no longer a heart. It's a trash bag. Jesus said, you can empty your trash today. Do you believe it? That maybe God set you up? I don't know. You know, he's smarter than me. And then, I'm just going to go through them. I'm sorry, I'm going to take some time with this, Dana, but here's a good one. Oh, y'all can't read that. Disappointment. I'm sorry. It's like 1-inch letters. Disappointment. Do you even know what that is? It feels like sadness. And we think we're supposed to be sad. You know, you can tell, you can become Bible scholars. The Bible tells you there's no sadness in heaven. That means it's not a feeling that you're supposed to have. Jesus died to take away our sorrows. They're real, but as long as you keep them, they'll just stick there. Just sticks there. And to get rid of it, now here's the thing. Is God pulling on your heart? Well, maybe he wants you to let go of this today. He wants to set you free from that today. So disappointment, that's another one. This is the pits. Shame. Y'all know shame? Y'all know what it is? Look inside your heart. See if you're ashamed. Embarrassed. There's different words for it. Jesus died so we don't have to carry this. Well, I should be ashamed of myself. My mama told me, you should be ashamed of yourself, girl. It's not what Jesus ever says. Well, you mean no matter what I've done, I shouldn't have shame? I mean no matter what you've done, Jesus will take your shame. He's bigger than your shame. But guess what? You can do this, right? I think I'll just keep that. You know how you keep it? By not letting it go. Jesus said, let it go, right? This one's sort of a strange one. This one feels good to us. Judgment. A lot of our foundation with God is based on us being judged, which isn't from the Lord. But we think it's good to judge. It's good. I should judge you and you should judge me and I judge them. This is not from the Lord. This is from the devil. Judgment. Do you feel judged? Do you judge? Does it hurt when you feel judged, when you walk in a room and people look at you and people sigh or, you know, it's judgment. Is that something you need to get rid of today? Dana, didn't you write any good words? Guilt. This is trash, right? You want to get rid of the trash? You have to choose to lay it down. And this morning, we're going to do that. And this one is universal for us, I think. Hurt. Are you carrying hurt in your heart? It's trash. Jesus wants you to give it to him. And I believe he'll do that today. I think it's supernatural. I think it's real. We'll start with this. This is sort of funny. We've been looking at this parable of the sower out of Luke 8. And it's in Luke, it's in Mark, it's in Matthew. All three of the Gospels record this parable that Jesus told. And it starts out like this in Luke 8. Massive crowds gathered around from many towns to hear Jesus, and he taught them. You know, he taught them. Now we think, especially with Gualala Harvey down in Guatemala, and the miracles, and they have miracles, and everybody in this whole town will come out when people start being physically healed. Because they don't have any hope for their physical bodies in those mountain villages. They don't have the resources we have to take care of our bodies. And so they'll all come out. But they'll come out for those massive healings, those chances of getting free from cancer, the chances of getting free from heart attacks and strokes and all this other stuff. But in this verse, Luke said, massive crowds gathered to hear Jesus. And he taught them. Do you know that what he was teaching, the message of the kingdom, the shame-free gospel, what he was teaching was so big of an impact in their lives that crowds of people would walk for hours to come be with him. And he taught them using metaphors and parables such as this. And that's where we're at. We've been looking at this parable. I hope you're reading it and not just listening to me talk about it, because it begins this way. A farmer, who's the farmer? Well, God. God's the farmer. A farmer went out to sow seeds. What's the seed? Well, we find out. What's the harvest? He sowed seeds for a harvest. You follow Jesus for a harvest. There's a harvest whenever you follow Him, whenever you live for Him. And what in the world does this have to do with me? Like, Alan, why are you harping on this parable so long? What's it have to do with me? Well, you know, it's interesting. He said, Mark's talking about this, and actually in Matthew's and Luke's too, they allude to this. In Mark, it says, then he said to them, Jesus said to them, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any parable? Well, the scripture just got through saying Jesus always spoke to them through parables and metaphors. And if you don't understand this parable, then you're not going to have a clue what Jesus is talking about. So that makes this really important. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I can't understand 90% of what you're trying to communicate unless I understand this parable, the parable of the sower. It seems so simple. Y'all know the story. A man went out to sow seed, and he sowed some, and it fell on the stony path, and the birds came and ate it. He threw some out on the rocky soil, and it sprung up real quick, and then it died. He threw some among the thorns, and the thorns choked it out so it didn't produce a big harvest. And then he threw some on good soil, and it produced a harvest of 100-fold. What a simple parable. It's like, you know, you and me, we're concrete thinkers. Well, God, that means that I need to plant my garden in good dirt, and I'm going to have fruit. It means a lot more than that. This parable is something you can base your life on. It's like, and so when you say this, you say, what is it? And then it says in Mark 4, Jesus used many parables such as these as he taught the people. They learned according to their ability to understand. He never spoke to them without using parables. Whoa. He never spoke to them without metaphors and parables. Wow. Maybe we need to understand this parable. And he never spoke to them, but would wait until they were alone before he explained their meanings to his disciples. Why did Jesus speak in parables that he knew people wouldn't understand? Well, I think for the same reason he does everything, for relationship. You know how you get to understand this parable? You grab a hold of it, what you can, and you hold it in your heart, and you believe. And you come to Him. And you come to Him. And you come to Him. You see, for Jesus, it's all about relationship. In our world, we try to speak as clearly as we can so you don't have to think. Because we think that we aren't thinkers. Well, Jesus, it's not about your mind. It's about your heart. This parable is all about the heart. And He said, I want you to come to me. When you're alone with me, isn't that interesting, right? When you're alone with me, I will unveil the secrets of the kingdom to you. And you know what the secrets of the kingdom are? I told you last week. I love that they brought mirrors today. The secret of the kingdom are, every time you get close to Jesus' heart, He's going to look at you and say, you're beautiful. I love you. I want you. I need you. You're valuable. You have worth. Your life is great. That's what Jesus will say to you every time. Go look in those mirrors, and when you look at yourself, if you could see yourself the way Jesus sees you, you would just pass out. You see what He wants to do. He wants to say this in a parable, and then you know what I had to do? I had to spend lots of time with Jesus. Wait. Isn't that the best thing in the world? Isn't that the best thing that ever happened to us? You mean I can't understand this parable if I don't meditate on it and I don't take it before the Lord and I just don't spend time with Jesus? I can't understand this parable? Nope. Because he doesn't care how smart you are. He cares how much of your heart. He wants your heart. And how does he get your heart? When you spend time with him. So it's really, I think it's sort of funny. Why? You know why? Because it's all about relationship. The scripture is not about knowledge. It's not about dissection and science. It's not about your head. It's about your heart. So guess what? However much time you spent with Jesus with this parable already, the only reason it's not changing your life is because you're not spending heart time with him on it. If you spend heart time with him, he'll tell you what I'm telling you, but he'll tell you himself. And when he tells you, you will melt. When he tells me something, it becomes more than real. When I tell you things, you think about it. You know what Jesus is going to say to you? You know what he's going to say to you when you say, God, I'm letting you down. I'm disappointing you. I disappointed my parents. I've disappointed myself. I've disappointed the... You know what he's going to say to you? He's going to love you. He's going to love you so much that this goes away. Yeah, but God, you keep saying, well, but God, I really did do that. God, I gave my heart to you, and then I stole a Lamborghini. He's like, yeah, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. That's what happens when you go to him. So he never spoke to them without parables. Okay, we're going to go on. This is a great verse. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. You know what the message of the kingdom is? Some versions say the word of the kingdom. It's the gospel. It's the shame-free gospel. You know, it's the reality of the gospel. Well, that I've heard the gospel 100 times. It didn't change me. You didn't hear the shame-free gospel. You see, there's more than one gospel. The Apostle Paul said a couple of times, he said, listen, in Galatians 1 and 2 Corinthians 11, he said, why are you believing a different gospel, guys? Why are you going back to the law when you've actually tasted freedom? Why would you do that? You see, there's a lot of gospels out there. And some gospels will get you to heaven, but they won't bring heaven to earth. They leave you in your shame. They leave you in your sorrows. They leave you in your bondage. They tell you, don't worry about anything because you're going to go to heaven. So you just muck along here and just push through and you'll be fine. That's not the gospel of the kingdom of God, because God's kingdom is in the future and it's now. You see, I love this that... Heaven's kingdom realm. Matthew 13, when he was talking about this same parable, he added this for these parables Jesus told along with the parable of the sower. He said, Heaven's kingdom realm can be compared to the tiny mustard seed that a man takes and plants in his field. Although the smallest of all seeds, it eventually grows into the greatest of garden plants and becoming a tree for birds to come and build their nest in its branches. The smallest seed becomes something supernaturally that the birds, and in the scriptures, the birds refers to angels. The angels will come and they'll build their nest around you and they'll abide with you. Listen, do you need angelic help? You do. Jesus had angelic help. God sent angels to serve his children, to serve the saints. You need angels. And when you believe the message of the kingdom, God sends his angels. And that message will grow inside of you to the point where his angels will be with you all the time. They'll dwell with you. And it happens whenever you believe. It's what happens when Jesus talked to the kingdom. And then this one's even better. Heaven's kingdom realm can be compared to yeast that a woman takes and blends into 3 measures of flour. That's like 66 pounds of flour. And then waits until all the dough rises. You see, this message of the kingdom, what's the seed? What's the seed God wants to plant in our hearts? It's the message of the kingdom. It's the shame-free gospel. It's the reality of who Jesus is. It's the reality of who God is. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God's good? Do you believe that Jesus came to set you free? Do you believe? You see, it's a message of the kingdom realm. God sees you differently than you see yourself. And when you give your heart to Him and you choose to follow Him, you're asking Him to transform your mind so you think like He thinks. I know how He thinks. He didn't just speak the message of the kingdom. He lived it. He didn't judge people. Last week we talked about the woman at the well. He didn't see her the way she saw herself. Are there ways that you see yourself the way Jesus doesn't see you? He's asking you to believe Him. Believe Him. Well, I'm just a loser and I can prove it. What's He say? I should be ashamed of myself. I've disappointed God. Oh, really? What's He say? There's no chance for me to have a life on this earth. Really? What's Jesus say? You see, He believes something different than we do. He believes His seed inside of you is more powerful than anything on earth. You know, it was like Melody's here today. She's three. And Kelly's has her class back there this morning. And Kelly and I were talking the other day. And Kelly loves teaching those 3 and 4 year olds. But to teach those 3 and 4 year olds, you have to sort of get down on the floor sometime. And Kelly's just like me. I have a really hard time getting off the floor if I ever get down there. She's like, well, so she always has somebody else with her in the room to do the floor things with them. Because when you're three, if you're going to play with a 3 year old who's this tall, you got to get down there. And well, little Melody, so I play with her all the time, and I always get down on the floor, and then she just changes her mind. She wants to play here. She wants to go there. And so she'll walk up to me. She'll say, come on, Pawpaw, and she'll reach down her finger like she's going to pick me up off the floor. And so I try to get away so I can get up without pulling her down. So she thinks she's helping me up, but she ain't strong enough. She doesn't have enough lead in her britches to help me up. Some of you do have enough lead in your britches to help me up. That was a joke too. But you know God does. When God says He's going to lift you up, He can. He's strong enough. He can pick you up out of whatever you're in, no matter where you've been. And here's what happens. I love this. You know, it's sort of like this. There are a lot of messages of the kingdom out there. Most of them are condemning. Most of them have God as an angry judge. Most of them have us as bad, not as in bondage, but as there's something internally wrong with us. That's what we were taught many, many times. Most of us hear a message of the kingdom that goes like this: try harder, do better. You should regret your life. You should be sorry for what you've done. Most of those messages are basically self-help. The gospel, the shame-free gospel, promotes dependence upon Jesus and trust Him. But there are a lot of gospels out there that are actually telling us to pull ourselves up and to be ashamed of ourselves and be mad at ourselves and try harder. And that's not really true. It goes like this. In our world, when a kid's behavior, emotions, when they're out of control, and if you're a teacher, you in the school system, you know this, you get a kid in whatever, elementary school, junior high, and if their behavior gets out of control and their emotions get out of control, like beyond control, you know what they do? They lock them up. They lock them up. Now, they do it in nice ways, but they lock them up either through chemicals or physically because they can't help them. Do you know what, the shame-free gospel says? I think we should lock them up. You know, but I think, though, I think we should lock them up in a you are good. I think we should lock them up here in a you are good, you are loved, you are needed, you are valued, you are wanted, you are safe cage. I'm going to lock you up and you're going to hear me tell you how good you are until you turn blue in the face, and Jesus is going to come in and he's going to convince you of what's he's true, that you are good. You're not hopeless. You're not bad. You're not dirty. You're not a failure. You're not a loser. You're wanted. You're needed. You're valued. We're going to put them in that cage, and you put a kid in that cage long enough, and you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to bloom. You know why? Because Jesus said the message, the power, the shame-free gospel is the power of God to bring salvation to a child, to a city, to a world. And God is looking. The parable of the sower is just saying, I just need someone who will believe me. Believe me. And you know what? It's funny. We believe him, but so often our believing him gets turned into believing what we want. You know, I'm believing God for a new house. Well, God said, believe me. Believe me. Jesus, it's about relationship. It's not about the stuff. And I think so often in our world, we get caught up. That's why Jesus said, he said, you know what? Some of the seed falls on soil that gets all wrapped up in stuff. Good stuff. Stuff I want to give you. But now my focus goes on the stuff and not on him. You know, the most greatest news you'll ever hear is that if you will give your heart to Jesus and you'll hold on and you'll hold him dear, it will produce a harvest. A hundredfold harvest in your life. It will. But you know what that harvest is? It's going to be more powerful than the physical realm you live in today. It's going to be more powerful than your disappointment. It's going to be more powerful than anything. You see, we live in a world that says as long as you get stuff, as long as you get what you want, that'll make you happy. That'll give you peace. The truth is that that's a fleeting peace and it goes away. It's not real. Jesus said, I'm real. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He wants you to be happy, but your happiness comes through your relationship with him. And then when the storm hits, you still sail. When the world crumbles, you still stand. You see, Jesus had a way of living. What we need to do with those kids is we need to lock them up in a cage and preach the shame-free gospel to them. God loves you. Well, then why did my mom die? God loves you. Why aren't you answering my question? You're asking the wrong question. God loves you. Well, my mom died because I was a bad boy. You're not a bad boy. God loves you. Yeah, but I do bad things. That doesn't mean you're a bad boy. It means you're in bondage. God loves you. You see the difference? Well, God's punishing me. No, he's not. He loves you. You lock them up in that cage and they'll flourish and prosper. In every way. You know, I love this. Jesus didn't speak without parables. And you know, it's funny. I think he says this in the Mark passage. He says, uses the word endure. Here in this book, he says, the woman takes and blends into three measures of flour and then waits. Then waits. You see, when you're with Jesus, you get your answer the moment you turn to him, because it's about him. And then you wait. And you wait. But the whole time you're waiting, his life is growing inside of you. It's setting you free from the constraints of this world that we live in. It sets you free from bondage. It sets you free from judgment. It sets you free from failure and disappointment. And it's the world that is inside, which is no one can take away from you. You wait. You know, the previous passage, it says, it eventually, the tiny seed in the garden, eventually grows into the greatest. You see, when you hold on to Jesus, when you hold on to your relationship with him, it's growing the whole time, and it's by faith. It's not by sight. You know, yeast, it's amazing. Jesus was... Jesus knew this. I don't know how he knew this. I'm praying about this, and God said, Alan, we've got to believe that the message of the gospel is where the power is. And that says that you're in a relationship, and that says God loves you, and Jesus is good, and you're good. That's the power. Hold on to that, even when it doesn't look, you can't see the results. Like, are you holding on, even when you can't see it? Do you know, so I looked up yeast. I've cooked before. Have you ever seen those little packages of yeast, Fleshman's yeast or whatever, and there's two or three brands, and you can buy cubes of yeast, but you know those little packages, little square packages? I've used that before. I've baked before, and it has this yellow-looking flour stuff in it. Well, so I just said, well, God, I really don't know what yeast looks like, so I Googled it. Yeast, I didn't know this. I'm sorry, I must not paid attention in science. Yeast is a one-celled organism. One-celled organism. You can't see it with the naked eye. They've been using it for hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of years. They've used it, but you can't see it. You know how many yeast cells, how many living organisms, how many single cells of yeast there are in one of those little packages? Somebody counted them. 69 billion. They're alive. You can't see them. But if you hold on to it, if you put that in dough and you put it in the right environment and you hold on to it, you know what? The dough is going to expand even if you have 60 pounds of the stuff. Guys, when you hold on to your relationship with Jesus, there's something happening. You just can't see it with your naked eyes. But you know what? You know it because when you do that, you feel it on the inside. You may not see anything. You know, the great heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, they didn't see anything on earth, but it still happened. You see, are you holding on to your relationship with Jesus? Or are you getting stoned by the reality, a physical reality of your world? The gospel message, the good news is that Jesus is above the world. God's wanting you to hold on to Him. Hold on to the message of the good news. Hold on to the shame-free gospel. Believe it's true. Keep it in your heart. Make it dear to you. Daily think about it. And when you do that, that becomes just like yeast in your life, which doesn't just affect you, it affects the whole world. You know, I love that flower. And you know, he says that his kingdom realm is like yeast. And how much of the dough is the yeast going to affect? All of it. Yeah, but I look around the world today and I see all kinds of bad things happening. Yeah, that's what you see. But there's something else happening more powerful than what you see. Yeah, but I've had this addiction. I've had these problems for my whole life. And yeah, that's what you see. There's something more powerful than your past. There's something more powerful than the physical evidence we live in. And if you hold on to that, there'll be a harvest. And you know what? I wanted to do this. John chapter 6, Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000 men. Remember that story on the Sea of Galilee? That was like 15,000 people. Unbelievable. That's not a parable. That was a true story. Unbelievable what he did. Now, the disciples, there's a huge story in that, huge learning lesson in that. But after the people had eaten the bread, you know, they got physical food. So they're all looking for Jesus. They're looking for him. And they're all wanting him, right? And so they all go looking for him. And y'all can read the story. Then he says this. He says, let me make this very clear to you. You came looking for me because I fed you by a miracle, not because you believe in me. You see, he wants to feed us. He wants to give you physical blessings. He wants to give the world physical blessings. But he doesn't want you to get stuck on that, because what matters is, do you believe in him? Do you believe in him? And he says, why would you strive for food that's perishable and not be passionate to seek the food of eternal life, which never spoils? I'm ready to give you what matters the most. Do you want to have a good life? Seek him. Do you want to eat? Seek him. Do you want your family to be blessed? Seek him. You see, what matters the most is your relationship with Jesus. All good things come out of that. But you have to wait. You have to give it time. You have to endure. You have to believe in the goodness of God even when it looks everything is falling apart around you. That's faith. That's why in Mark it said endure. When he told the parable of the sower, he said, these things happen to those who endure. So, Alan, are you saying bad things are going to happen? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm saying that there's a life and a joy that comes from believing in the message of the gospel that's beyond the bad things that happen in your world. So this morning, Dana and Missy, the prophetic guys, they challenged us. And it really is a pretty serious challenge. Do you believe that you can lay down your offenses today and Jesus will take them? Do you believe in him? See, it's about your belief in him. It's not about this. It's about believing. Do you believe you can give him your hurts? Do you believe you can give him your disappointments? Can you give Jesus your guilt? Will he take your shame? Will he set you free from judgment? Do you believe? That's what matters. This is all just the blessings. It's the fruit, the harvest that comes when we believe. This morning, God wants to give you something. He wants to set you free from this stuff. And it will happen to us if we believe. But what if I don't see it? Believe. Believe. When you believe, God moves inside. And you may not see it outside, but something's happening inside of here that will determine your future. And it's not just about going to heaven. It's about having heaven on earth. You need freedom. I need freedom. You need joy. You need peace. You need faith. You need to be confident and secure in him. And this morning, that's the message of the sower. Said, if you'll open your heart and you'll bind your heart to mine, you'll have a great harvest. That's it? Yeah. But I don't have to change my behavior. He'll change your behavior. That way you don't get the credit for it. What do I have to do? I got to do something. Yeah. Bind your heart to his and believe. Believe that what Jesus did, believe in what he did, and he'll set you free. So I just want to, let's all stand up if y'all don't mind. We have a Jessica playing the piano today. Jessica and I often dress alike. We don't do it on purpose. Like, we don't call each other, but so we hit it. Just like every time she plays, I'm like, Jessica, we're twinkies. If y'all ever see me dressing modern, check my temperature and see if I'm okay. We have ministry teams up here. And part of what you're doing this morning, you may need to hear from the Lord. I believe if we'll give this up, he'll give us something to replace it. And Dana was right. We've got to empty the trash bag. You have to give it up. And I know God's pulling on hearts. I know he's pulling on hearts. will you respond to his pull? You know, maybe God's been asking you to give it all. Maybe you've never made that decision. Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe that you are good news, and I'm going to put all my eggs in this basket. His name's Jesus. The world's saying there's lots of different baskets. Jesus is the basket. And this morning, maybe you need to make that step of faith. Jesus, I believe. I'm going with you. Now, you know if he's pulling your heart. You can't come to him unless he pulls on your heart. I can't either. I can't respond to him unless he's pulling. So you know if he's pulling. So let's ask him. Let's just be patient. Wait a second. So just ask him in your heart. You just ask him, Jesus, do you want me to give you my life? Jesus, are you pulling me? That's the most important decision you'll ever make. By far, the greatest thing that'll ever happen. So this morning, if everybody will be happy for you. If you're here this morning and he's been pulling you and you need to give him your heart, I just want you to come up here up to the front, and either one of these teams will pray with you. They'll help you with that. And Jesus will be having a party in heaven. He's excited about you. Now, if you're here this morning and you've been carrying around some trash in your heart, I'm not good enough, that doubt, I'm not going to make it. Guilt, serious guilt, shame. You feel like you're a disappointment, or you've been disappointed. That's all just trash that God wants to set you free from. So Jesus, would you just speak to each one of us? If we're carrying one of these things, so everybody just keep praying and talk to the Lord yourself, or praying for each other, praying for us. But if you're here this morning and you need to step out by faith, why don't you do it right now? Nobody's looking around. It's just you. And come up here and deal with that stuff. Jesus wants you. So God, if whoever's holding on to guilt, God, I ask that you would just draw them and that you'd set them free today. Now, Jesus, anyone's holding on to shame, so God, anyone holding on to unforgiveness, to offense with you or with somebody else, God, I guess that, God, anyone holding on to that this morning, that you'd set them free. Now, Jesus, anyone that you're calling to come follow you, to give their lives to you, Lord, I ask that you'd give them the strength and the courage to take that step this morning. Come on, King. Come on, King. God, I just thank you that you won't let us get off this parable until we understand it. So God, I just thank you that you care about us that much. That you're not checking boxes, that you have time for us. And God, I thank you for this prophetic word up here on the stage this morning. I see you. That God, none of us, we're individuals to you. You see us, you know where we're at, and you care about each one of us. So I just thank you for that, Lord. Just burn that deep in our hearts this week. Don't let us get out of that this entire week. And God, we just thank you, King. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you guys. Don't forget, busy week. Y'all pray for Harvey and the team. They'll be home on the 12th. So I think through the 10th, they're out ministering. So God bless you.